Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
Now, just another point of application. If you're going to be nice to somebody, be nice to somebody, right? If you're going to give as unto the Lord, give as unto the Lord. If you're going to spend some time praying with somebody, spend some time praying with somebody, but don't be looking for the payoff. Remember, you serve the Lord Christ, and you will never outserve Him. You will never serve others more than He, in fact, has served you when He died for you and rose from the dead so you could have life. So don't be like this miser with an evil eye. And in this, the dead giveaway, you want to find out if your flesh is kind of getting out of control. You know, when someone comes up and they ask you for another favor, you know, you get the call, okay, we're going to be in town, can we stay for a few days? And your first reaction is to go, and you roll that. That's the evil eye, man. It's not just stink eye. It's not just, I can't believe you people are back again. You know, that sort of thing. But the evil eye is the, in my case, I know it's the, when I find myself rolling my eyes, nothing good's coming out of it. And it's time just to come back and ask ourselves a basic question. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Better, for who am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it as unto the Lord, or am I doing it as unto men? Now, verse 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. What Solomon basically is saying is, you know, don't waste your breath on foolish people. Now, I know some people will say, oh, you know, that sounds a little harsh, but there are situations where we should share with people, and then there are situations where we shouldn't share with people. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, we are told that when King Herod brought Jesus before him, when Pontius Pilate was trying to play hot potato with Jesus, I don't want to try him. Oh, you're from Galilee? I'm going to send you over to Herod. You're his jurisdiction. It says that Herod was excited about that because he hoped to see Jesus perform a miracle. And so he started asking all these questions. He said Jesus didn't answer him a word. Well, I think there's probably a reason for that. This is the same Herod that had beheaded John the Baptist as a tip, if you will, for a stripper. Bottom line, you know, it was the same Herod who loved to hear John preach, would often call for him, even do many things, but his heart never changed, and Jesus had nothing to say to him. There are situations when there is a time to speak, and there is a time where you just draw the line. I mean, any of you who dare to go on the internet on some of these comment sections or these chat back programs they have. You know, you can get involved trying to straighten people out. You can say, okay, I think I know so much. If I just explain this to this person properly, then, you know, there's a saying on the internet, don't feed the troll, right? There's some people that go on these things and they're not interested in learning. They're not interested in growing. They're only interested in getting their point across. And when that becomes really apparent, you are completely within your God-given boundaries just to say, no, I'm not going to spend all day with you. Great example happens occasionally, to me anyway, I'm sure it happens to you, on Saturday mornings. You've got a nice, relaxing Saturday, all lined out. Suddenly there's a knock on the door, and it's a couple of well-dressed people talking to you about the end of the world. It's the Jehovah's Witnesses. And there was a time in my life where I would get into these endless conversations with Jehovah's Witnesses would come to my door. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older. I don't know if it's just because I get to the end of the week, I'm a little tired. But I just don't suffer those kind of fools gladly anymore. Well, what's a fool? A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there's no greater fool than the one who denies that Jesus Christ is God. And so I just cut to the chase. I will say to them, look, there's only one thing I want to talk to you about. Who, in your opinion, is Jesus Christ? And don't give me the song and dance about he's the Son of God or he's this, the end of that. I said, you guys think he's the Archangel Michael. Now they're kind of back on their heels and so on. And I just take them to John chapter 5, where Jesus himself said that whatever the Son sees the Father do, he does in like manner. That just as the Father raises the dead, so the Son gives life to whom he will. That just the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. That he who doesn't honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, I've got the same power as the Father. I've got the same privileges as the Father. I'm the judge of the earth. The Father's even given me that to do. And I'm worthy of worship just like the Father. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Jesus is God. And there's no two ways around it. And all the other hoo-ha you want to tell me about, 144,000 and, you know, going door to door and, you know, all this other stuff, and we're the only, hey, you know, I bear you witness, you got a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. But what about blood transfusions, and what about saluting the flag? There's only one subject of matter. Don't you talk about anything else that Jesus is God? Yeah, I talk about a lot of other things aside from the fact that Jesus is God, but that's not your problem. You don't get this one right, you've missed it. Because in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, literally, ego me, I am that I am, same way he introduced himself to Moses at the burning bush. God, who shall I say sent me? God, I am that I am. Unless you believe I am that I am, that Jesus is God, you will die in your sins. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. So, I'm not going to change the subject with these people. And it's funny how they go, oh, we've got to get going now. So, and Solomon said, do not speak in the hearing of a fool. He will despise the wisdom of your words. And I always pray for him. I always say, I want to pray for you. But don't pray for me. Oh, why don't you want me to pray for you? Well, I can guarantee him that I'm going to pray for him because God needs to open their eyes. Do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty, and he will plead their cause against you. What Solomon is saying is, just because you are powerful, just because you are personally connected, just because you can maybe even physically intimidate another person, don't even go there. Why? Because God is keeping score. Now, I think that's a good warning if you're thinking about getting over on someone else or conning somebody else or using your influence, your power to get a business deal done. I think that's a very good caution. But it's also an encouragement if you've ever felt like you were kind of bullied. You know, if you've ever felt like someone really kind of took you to the cleaner and just plowed you because, you know, they had more money, they had more connections, they could sue you into oblivion, whatever they're going to do. You know, here's the deal. God is keeping score. God is the one who will ultimately judge the circumstance. And sometimes that judgment, you'll see it play out here on planet Earth. You know, it's been said there's two great tragedies in life, not getting what you want and getting it. You know, an individual that does get over on other people and does accomplish these things and becomes high and mighty and powerful, they discover that satisfaction and peace aren't to be found there. But sometimes they wait until they see the Lord face to face. And I'll tell you what, if you're a person that has feathered your nest at the expense of others, their Redeemer, God, the one who stands for the poor and the powerless, he's not going to buy your cleverly well-worked rationalization. So again, a word of caution there. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. You know, here we see an important reminder that we've got to be very, very careful about what kind of input we're getting in life. Praise the Lord that you are taking time out of your lives to be in the Word of God here tonight, to receive from the Word of God. I'm doing my best to get out of the way as much as I can and allow the Word of God to speak. But ask yourself this question. How much input do you get in a day that is, say, godly, that is biblical? How much input do you get in a day that is anything but biblical? You know, at all times, you know, this CPU unit, this like 8-pound thing that we've got on top of our shoulders is constantly being programmed. Well, what are we programming it with? You know, if we don't have, in a sense, a grid, if you will, to be able to screen out the negative influences of this world, man, the condition of your life, the final destination and disposition of your life, so much of it comes down to what we allow in through the eye gate and the ear gate within our lives. You know, as we've seen, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what's programming your thinking? Do you have a standard? Do you have something in your life where you go, okay, I'm going to take a look at what's coming out of the idiot box, the boob tube, you know, the computer, whatever, you know, my little mobile listening device, whatever you got, and I'm going to apply a standard to that. I'm not just going to allow it to program me. I'm going to program what I allow to come into my life in this media-saturated culture we live in. Yeah, well, what does that grid look like? Well, here, do yourself a favor. If you're not into biblical memory, you might want to start here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You know, if you memorize Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, and you carry that around with you, maybe you're not a great memorization person. You know, I just don't have that gift. Okay, here's what you do. You get a 3x5 card, and you just write this scripture out, and you keep it with you. You know, you get a little piece of chewing gum, and you slap it on the dashboard, right? You get a little vegetable magnet and you stick it on the fridge. But you keep this around because this will keep you out of a peck of trouble. Finally, brethren, Paul writes, whatever so things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind think on these things, literally meditate on these things. Now you go, well, you know, that's a lot to merit, true, noble, lovely, good report, virtue. I'm getting lost here. If you can't remember all these things, remember who's being described here. It's not a what, it's a who. It's Jesus. Yeah, ask yourself the question, is this input that I'm getting right now leading me closer to Jesus, or is it making me more cynical? You know, well, you know, Scott, I don't go on those awful, you know, pornography sites or things like that. You know, I discipline myself against that. But if you're like me, I don't go and look at that stuff. But you know what gets me? I go on, like, say, the Drudge Report. And I look at the headlines. And I'll be about halfway down the headlines. And I'm going, I just can't believe what bozos are running this country right now. And I become cynical. And I become judgmental. You know, I said, well, I can't. Maybe I could go over to the entertainment. I can't believe, you know, the latest thing that is coming out. Well, maybe I can go over, you know, to some Christian site or something like that. And then, you know, the stuff that's going on in the church, I'm like, ah! Now, what I need to do at those times, you know, and I'm not saying that you just become some, you know, completely tuned out individual. But you need to look at these things through the lens of your relationship with the Lord. You need to ask yourself, why am I watching this particular program? Why am I on this particular website? Why am I, say, allowing this particular song to become wired into my brain? Because once it's in there, it's in there. I've confessed before, you know, my mind is a treasure trove of worthless information. I can probably quote to you word for word the entire catalog of the Monkees from the 60s. Word for word. I know all those lyrics. They're up there. They're not going anywhere. My brother and I sometimes think we're going to be in the old folks' home. We're going to be sitting there in our wheelchairs with the blankets. And the only thing we're going to be able to communicate with each other is old jingles from the 60s and the 70s. Hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs? You know, that's the only thing we're going to be able to remember. Let me ask you a question. What are you programming your mind with? What are you allowing in through the eye gate and the ear gate? If you have no standards, if you don't decide you're going to have a standard, here's a newsflash for you. The world's going to set the standard for you. Someone else is going to set that standard for you. And you might not like where that standard is going to end up leading you someday. So, important that we see here. Apply your heart to instruction, your ears to word of knowledge. Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Whoa. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Well, moving right along. You know, I have a little professional beef I'd like to share with you. I come across passages like this, and I'll be reading along, you know, some really great commentary, and they'll be going along through Proverbs, a lot of neat insights, and oh yeah, great. And they'll get to that, and they'll go, well, moving right along. Chickens. Well, since fools rush in where angels fear to tread, let's talk about this for a second. We look at this and say, oh, okay, that's great. My kid's driving me crazy anyway. I can get the rod out and just beat the living tar out of him. Bible says so right here. Believe it or not, I've known some idiots, and I use the term advisedly, who have used this as a justification for child abuse in their life. Idiots. Because they say that God told me to do that. Well, what's going on here? You know, why such an intense statement that we find in this particular passage? Well, once again, if you're going to understand what's going on in the Scripture, you've got to ask yourself a question. Who's speaking here? And what is their background? And what could possibly be going through their mind as they share this particular nugget of wisdom here? Well, first of all, A, we're talking about King Solomon. You know who King Solomon was? He was the son of a guy by the name of, your final Jeopardy question, David. Right? David was a great king, sweet psalmist of Israel, man after God's own heart, the only one to stand up to Goliath, you know, the 9-foot, 6-inch tall giant. We went down to the Valley of Elah when we were on our tour of Israel, and, you know, you go through there and you see the two hillsides and probably where both of the armies were marshaled over there, and you see the kind of middle ground where they met, and there's this, like, stream that goes along there, and there's all these rocks in the stream, and you go, whoa, you know, I wonder if this was one of the rocks, you know, that was there when David picked up the smooth stone for his sling. You know, a friend of mine said, yeah, you know, I used to think that, but then the tour guide told me that at least, you know, twice a month there's a dump truck that comes in and dumps all these stones down there for the tourists, right? So I don't know if we're really dealing with artifacts here as much as, oh, wow, you know, but it takes a lot of chutzpah, right? Be a little kid and say, you come at me with a shield and a spear, a pretty impressive spear at that. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of the armies of heaven, whose name you blaspheme. And the rest, as they say, was history, right? Man, great warrior. But you know what? Sweet psalmist of Israel, you know, great warrior, beautiful king, but a lousy dad. You know, why do I say that? Well, remember, a conflict that got going in David's family. David could have saved himself a passel full of trouble if he had just consulted the instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 17 that says that kings aren't to multiply wives. But he did multiply wives. He had several wives and several children with several wives. He had like all these half-brothers and half-sisters running around in his family. And although he was a great king, he wasn't so much a great king in his own home, because there was one of his sons by the name of Amnon who became quite enamored of his half-sister, a woman by the name of Tamar. And he became so overcome, not with love, but with lust. He was just absolutely feeling ill. He wanted to have relations with her so badly. Well, this conniving member of the court said, man, you know, you shouldn't be moping around like all this. I'll tell you what, you know, you fake like you're sick. I'll have her make some nice food. You'll come on in. You can have your way with you. It'll be great. Lo and behold, worked like a charm. But we are told that after Amnon had his way with Tamar, and I know this is, you know, we've gone beyond PG-13 here, but, you know, if you're not ready for books written for adults, don't read them. The bottom line was, we are told that after he got what he wanted, that Amnon's hatred for Tamar was greater than the love that he thought he felt for her. And, you know, again, Tamar's like, you know, you've ruined me, ruined my reputation, you know, and just nothing to do with her. Well, Amnon made a crucial error. He failed to take into his calculus, when his lust was running the show, that Tamar had a big brother. Remember what the big brother's name was? Absalom. And Absalom did not like this one bit. We're told in 2 Samuel chapter 13 that King David was angry when he heard what happened, but he did nothing about it. Did not intervene, did not step in. As far as Amnon was concerned, he'd gotten away with it all. Well, Absalom was not going to take this lying down. He decided to have this big celebration for shearing his sheep. Said, hey, Amnon, come on up. We're going to have this big party, shearing the sheep, all this other stuff. Oh, Amnon's going, yeah, Absalom, go up there and party. And he kills Amnon. Absalom offs the guy. And he felt completely justified in doing it. He went into a little bit of an exile for a time, but then he came on back, and then the bitterness, the anger, the rage that was in Absalom over this whole situation and David's failure to act in a decisive way eventually led him to a place where he set up a coup d'etat. He nearly threw David not only out of his kingship, but was ready to kill his own father as a result of this. How could this whole process have been stopped before all this ugly fruit came out of it? If David had stepped up and, catch this, had the punishment fit the crime when Amnon sexually assaulted his sister, then maybe, just maybe, you know, and again, we're speaking hypothetically here, your mileage may vary, but maybe Absalom would have said, you know what, I appreciate the fact that my dad stepped up. I appreciate the fact that he made Amnon pay big time for what he had done. But because David turned away and just kind of took the path of least resistance, well, again, the lack of peace in the home, the devastation that happened in the home was awful. And as far as we know, Amnon died in his sin. Now, when we understand that, this passage starts to take on a depth of meaning. Do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. What Solomon was saying is, if David had just been smart enough in this situation to give Amnon a good once over, to allow the punishment to fit the crime in terms of his assault and all of this other stuff, who knows what would have happened to the family? Who knows what would have happened with David and his future? Who knows what would have happened even for Absalom not falling into a place where he betrayed his father? Who knows what would have happened to Amnon's eternal destiny?
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.